It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Chris Versace. He writes the corner of Wall in Maine for the Washington Times. This week's column, Facebook Hangover, a lesson in hopium? Hopium? What is hopium?
Hopium's the big drug, Andy, that the stock market's hooked on, man. It's a combination of hope mixed with the addictive nature of opiums. Gives you hopium. Where you been?
I love that. I'm sorry. I just totally missed it, you know? I guess I'm just not into that culture as much as I used to be.
I'm certainly not. But all kidding aside on hopium, it's one of these things that's kind of gripped the markets over the last, you know, several weeks, if not months, as we continue to get economic data that points to a contraction in the domestic economy, but also too around the world. We did get some data this week from Market Economics that shows, guess what? The Eurozone continues to contract and China continues to slow. And the thought being that as things continue to decelerate or fall apart or contract, whichever, you know, colorful word you want to use, there's going to be another round of stimulus, be it from the Eurozone, the Chinese government, and or the good old Federal Reserve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, when I heard that, when I heard you say hopium, I thought right away of Facebook, because we had talked last week about Facebook a little bit and the fact that people had high hopes for the stock, but it's still, what, below $20? We got one of the big wigs selling out. What does that tell you?
Well, you know, when you look at a stock, you always want to assess the upside and the downside, right? What's my opportunity? What's my reward? And, you know, much like we talked about last week, my big concern is the shift towards mobile. You know, we see a lot of iPads, smartphones, and the like, and Facebook, you know, as compelling for a consumer is, or for a user, I should say, what does it mean as a consumer? And the reality is that there is no mobile business strategy that Facebook has, meaning they don't make money by people who use it on a smartphone. So to me, that was a red flag early in the IPO process. And you know, you are right. There was a lot of hopium around Facebook because it was one of, if not the biggest tech deal this year. And unfortunately, it's done nothing but, you know, crater from 38 down to, I think, a low of 18, and it's bounced back to around 19 now.
Yeah.
But the other thing you brought up is a fantastic point, and it's germane not only to Facebook, really, but to any stock, and that's investors like to track what we call insider activity. That's when board members as well as people of the management team buy and sell shares in the company for which they work with. And Peter Thiel, who is one of an early investor in Facebook, unloaded, you know, 80% of his position last week. You know, that sends a big red flag.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen. Let me ask you something about IPOs, though. You know, I get the impression that you're not a big fan of, you know, hitting a home run with an IPO stock. The chances just aren't there. I guess what I'm getting at, is it worth the risk investing in those stocks?
Well, you know, from my experience having been on both sides of the table, you know, when I was working at some investment banks, I was on the research team that participated in the IPO process for some companies. And you can get some good companies, but you need to separate a good company and its business from the stock. You have to remember that the investment banks are selling you something, right?
Yep.
And at the same time, too, we need to understand that, you know, 6 months down the line or so, there's what we call an unlock period where insiders get to finally sell some stock. And usually it comes out in volume because if the investment bank has done its job well, they've priced the IPO and it's moved up in what we call the aftermarket, in which case those insiders would like to book some profits.
I understand what you're saying. Now I want to move on to something else, though. You touched on it a minute ago, and that was the Federal Reserve perhaps getting involved. But we got some information, right, from the Federal Reserve's latest little get-together meeting. And what is that news? Is it good or bad?
Well, the news is, guess what? There's more room to do stuff if the economy continues to decelerate. And you have to remember that this was back in the meeting at which these minutes come from was back in late July, I think August 1st. And if we look at the data that we've seen since then, retail sales were okay. But today, durable goods orders kind of, you know, fell apart when we strip out transportation and defense. So the underlying number contracted for the, I believe, fourth time in 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me says that conditions are persisting, that the Fed will more likely than not do something. Now, that's the issue. I think a lot of traders are expecting another stimulus the size of QE2, but the economy, while slow, is not falling off a cliff. That's the issue. I think a lot of these guys are going to be disappointed as to what the Fed actually puts in place.
All right. Now, the CBO warned this week that perhaps we're headed to that cliff and we need to do something about it. And you just said we're not there yet. So that was a warning that went up to Obama and the Republican Congress and the Democratic Senate. We need to take care of some business.
Look, there's no doubt that this looming fiscal cliff and the sequestration are coming. The question is, can, you know, the people, you know, not too far from where you are, actually get their act together and do something about it? And it's important because, you know, the upside in the durable goods report that came out today that I mentioned a few minutes ago was due to two things, transportation and defense spending. But we know that if the politicians don't get their act together and the sequestration cuts go through, defense is going to get hit. So another, you know, would-be positive near term could turn into a negative before too long.
Okay. All right, and one final thing today, and this is way out there. This is going to be in left field, so if you can't get to
it. Don't worry, I'm in San Francisco. Go right ahead.
Oh, yes, that's right. You are in San Fran today. All right, Vice President Joe Biden comes out earlier in the week, and he says, we could help out families and the economy by refinancing 12 million mortgages right away, and he went on to say it wouldn't cost the government a dime. My question to you is that even possible, that it wouldn't cost the government a dime in the process of getting that done?
Well, let's think about this. I mean, it sounds good, right?
Yeah.
But the reality, like we've seen with so many things, that, you know, are either headlines or particularly political commentary, is let's dig a little deeper. It may not cost the government anything directly, but the question is, would it cost a Fannie, a Freddie, or some government-sponsored institution something? But also, too, as I just worked this through as we're talking, what's the incentive for a bank to go out and underwrite a potentially risky loan right now? So I don't really see how it gets done without the government.
Exactly. And that's what my concern was. When I heard him say this, I thought, you know, it's very nice to say that in front of a crowd, that it won't cost the government a nickel. But the whole time he's saying it won't cost the government a nickel, I'm thinking that it's going to cost Andy Parks many nickels.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, you know, in the financial world, it could be something like what we call like an off-balance sheet item, you know, something that affects a company. But when you look at the financial statements, it's not there directly.
Yeah.
That's what this sounds like to me. But, it goes to the notion that, you know, look, we're all concerned about the debt that the government's racking up, right?
Yep.
And we're not really seeing a good return, right? Whether it's the slowing economy, high unemployment, you know, where's the money gone? What's the benefit? And I think when you look at it that way, there's a lot of questions.
Yep, that's for sure. All right, well, listen, enjoy your stay in San Francisco. And, you know, if you find any conservatives out there, let me know.
I'll be on the hunt.
And perhaps we'll talk next week. All right, thanks, Chris.
Great, thanks, Andy.
See you later. Chris Persace, from San Francisco today. 5:26, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And if you need to get in touch with Chris, it's chrisversace.com, and it is spelled V-E-R-S-A-C-E, chrisversace.com. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. Stay tuned.